I should have put your runaway in this. Welcome everyone to the session two of the Hurt Locker. If you're new here, the Hurt Locker is everything footy. It's just the new media style. We've seen a ton of new podcasts come out in the last couple of years, so I thought, shit, we might as well jump in and give it a crack. The Hurt Locker, we just want to be different and we want to shed light to a different type of style for in comparison to mainstream media, especially to do with footy. I'm the host, Ron, and it's time to tune in for today's episode with the man you can see, my boy Lefs, my boy Caleb Tungito. Born and bred in the 09, this man can be described as nothing other than the man next up. We've seen him carve up NZ Schools, NZ Condors, Ignite Sevens, going into the All Black Sevens environment, NZ Under-20s, Auckland NPC, the Blues, and now he's down in the Dirty Dunners with the Landers. He's fast. His hair used to be Goku blonde as shit. It's one of North Shore's finest, my brother, Mr. Caleb Tungito. Nice to see you, my boy.
What's up, Ron? How are you, bro?
Well, good. How are you feeling? How's the body? Feeling good?
Yeah, nah, it's a bit sore, but nah, it's all good, eh?
Nah, nice. All right, we'll get stuck straight into how we're going to go for this potty. We're going to strip it right back to the very start, bro, and we're going to go right back to where you grew up in Auckland.
Yep. Yeah, so born and bred in Auckland, born in North Shore Hospital, so I was mostly brought up in the shore, but through kindy, I stayed over the bridge in the Auckland side, sort of like the Mount Wellington area. Had my first year of schooling, I think I did year one out on those ways. I think I went to like a school called St. Mary's or something near Green Lane. Is it St. Mary's Primary?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not too sure, eh?
Yeah. Nah, I went there and then mom was like, because my mom's a shore girl. She's like, nah, I want to go back home. So they took me back to the shore. Did my rest of my schooling over there and then, yeah, went Westlake Boys. Yeah, that's about it growing up.
So you went Westlake. What year did Westlake Boys start?
Year nine.
Oh, true. Yeah. And so you went to Westlake for the first time in year nine, and before that you were in Mount Welly.
Nah, sir. So I did year one in primary.
Oh, yeah.
And over the bridge, and then moved over and did the rest of my primary and intermediate and on the shore. So I went to Takapuna Intermediate.
Oh, yep.
Went to Willow Park and Forestall Primary. So I went to three primaries. I did a bit of moving on the shore too.
Did you go through those grades with any of the boys we know, like some of the boys we jammed juniors with, or no?
Nah, I don't think so, eh? Not that I remember.
What sports did you play growing up then, like even from right back to like your very first sport you ever jammed?
So started with rugby and then got into touch at primary, played hardball touch and stuff. I was real into that. Played a bit of basketball through high school and intermediate. But then, yeah, obviously I had to drop it. Oh, I did a little bit of athletics as well in primary.
Let me guess, 100 meter?
Yeah.
No, were you actually a runner for athletics?
Yeah. Oh, but back then, like, you sort of, like, do everything. Like, you have to do everything. So I just, doing it pretty much.
Westlake's pretty well known for touch. Did you jam touch from year nine straight through to the last year? Or
Yeah.
For summer sports?
Yeah. So once rugby was done, I'd always go into touch. Yeah, through year 9 to year
30. Do you want to talk about your little crew? I mean, I've seen Sione's wedding. They do something that looks a little bit similar to your boys. What's your crew? What's your Westlake crew? Because it's cool. You boys are tight as, man.
Yeah, it's me. Like, we always like watch the movie. And then like we wanted to do something all together. So we joined the social basketball league.
Oh, yo. School.
And we're like, what's her name? And then got that Duck Rockers. And sort of went whole Westlake anyway, and then sort of just carried it through. It was fun, as we're all pretty tight.
Yeah. You still hang out with some of those boys now?
Yeah, most of them, yeah.
Oh, true. Oh, it's mean.
Yeah.
Throughout your childhood, bro, let's talk about your upbringing. You like from a young age. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I got three siblings. Oh, true. Yeah, I got they're all younger, so I'm the oldest.
Yeah,
I've got a younger brother, with different mum, with my dad. He's 11 or 12.
Oh man.
Then I got my younger sister. She is 17, and another brother is turning 10 this year. So yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, I mean, so it must be pretty cool having younger siblings getting to watch you jam in those big grades now.
Yeah.
Have they got around to any of your Landers games yet down in Dunners?
Nah, they haven't actually. I think my mum and my sister and younger brother are planning on coming for the draw game.
Mean.
Because I think it's during the school holidays.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Timing. Yeah, true. Yeah. They're young and, oh, true. They're going to be in school. Yeah, I'm thinking like everyone's got free time or something.
Yeah. Right?
What about some other influences you had growing up, bro? We'll go into like maybe some coaches or some of your teammates that you grew up with.
Yeah. So like I said, I had I played touch and played harbour touch, and there was this one coach that was sort of my coach for like I would say 6-7 years straight. He was probably a big influence. Named Mike Lindsay. So from my harbour coach through primary and intermediate, and then he actually ended up being our Westlake coach as well, which is pretty mean.
For touch or footy?
Yeah, for touch.
Oh, I mean.
He was probably a big help because he was around that stage where I'm sort of maturing and going through puberty and that sort of age and sort of like, leading me where to go. And obviously my parents, they were big on just being a role model. And my dad, obviously, big rugby head, sort of keeping me grounded and stuff like that. It's cool. It's good.
What posse did you jam for touch? Were you in the middle?
I was link. I started on the wing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know what I was up to. And then as I got older, I sort of slowly went in a bit.
Yeah. Like I did the opposite, bro. I remember when we were a bit younger, I started in the middle way. Then when they realized I was shit,
I probably would have played you.
We probably did, bro. I think we probably did, but because remember the weird thing for us is like, we never really got to play for like our year group because it was COVID years for year 12 and 13. Like everything was just so weird. So we didn't actually get to jam a lot. I mean, even that Blues 20s, Blues 18s and 17s and stuff. Bro, everyone was still like all over the place at the time because I think it was still COVID years. Yeah. We got lucky we got to do that in our last year, actually.
Yeah,
but that was pretty mean nonetheless. School rugby, bro. Year 9, you jammed, like, was just normal. Did you play rugby any younger than year 9?
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Like, did you, what clubs were you in at a young age?
Oh, so I was moving, like, around a lot as, like, a kid. So it was a funny thing, my first ever rugby club was Varsity at Wanuka.
Hey!
That was my first ever club, yeah. But, yeah, I did 1 year there, my first year of rugby, and then I moved over to the Shore, East Coast Base Rugby Club.
Oh, yeah.
And then finished off in, like, year 7 and 8 at Taka Rugby Club.
Oh,
so
man.
I did a bit of moving, yeah. Yeah.
Have you played any club games? Yeah. You probably haven't had the chance. You're too good. Have you played any clubs since you've left school or now?
Yeah. No, I played.
Have you?
I went to G-Tech.
Oh, G-Tech. That's right. Yeah, I thought you were too busy wearing your black jersey or something, bro.
No, first year out of school, I did a full year of GT, and we lost.
Oh, no, actually, 2021, bro. You got player of the year, didn't you?
Rookie of the year.
Oh, rookie of the year. Bro. Same, considering you're first year out.
Yeah.
That was our first year academy, eh?
Yeah. That was us.
Yeah, were you drifting in and out were you All Black Sevens that year, or were you the year after?
No, I was the year after, but I went over for like a month or a bit, like I would be away from academy. So I went to seventh for like a month and came back. But I was mainly academy that year.
Yeah. So let's go through it right from the start then. What was the first rep team for rugby, at least, that you made?
Probably with a Roller Mills. Roller Mills?
Oh, you're a light.
Yeah. I was a little skinny, yeah. And I was... So it was Roland Mills, and then there's always that age grade, like under 16s, harbour, that sort of thing. And then the first major one was probably that Blues 18s in year 13.
Yeah.
That was probably one of
Was that your first?
That was probably, because I didn't make 17s or what else was there in school that you could make?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was only like the regional 16s, maybe.
Yeah,
the regional grades. Bro, that's pretty sick that you... Yeah. So you were actually kind of like a late bloomer in the sense of like young. Because like, you know, when you're young, bro, and you're like year 11, when we're like year 11, year 12, everyone's like, oh, bro, team's getting named next week for the Blues 18 squad. You're a bit of a late bloomer in that sense.
I was never really in the convo. Really,
but once you got in the convo, did that take off pretty crazy, eh? What happened from that? So you went from Blues 18s, and then that obviously 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
That was last year? All right, let's talk through what happened. So let's go that let's go from we went Blues 18s and then would it be Condors?
Yeah, it was Condors. We didn't really do too well at Condors, us Westlake boys. But so I only did the first day and realized we were out. So I went straight to Rotorua and played Touch Nationals.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. So I didn't really get to play the second day. But then, after that, I was lucky enough, I made the NZ Condors team, which was a mean little week, with the boys.
Bro, that was fun. I just want to put a little story out there. So it was our last day. I didn't end up playing thanks to Wally, because Wally broke my rib. Thanks, Wallace. Appreciate you, bro. I love you, bro. But it was our last day. We win the comp. Little Goku over here with his puffy-ass blonde hair. It's our last day. And we all play, and Noah comes out, and because I think it was Noah our skip, he was our skip.
Yeah.
Noah was the skip. And he goes, all right, we'll do a cover session in that, because we're staying in cell in like the top floor of one of the houses at King's. And so we all go in, and we must have had like a group chat or something, and we sent, and we'll go and shower up, and then all of a sudden, we look at someone getting changed, and old Goku walks in the door with jeans, shoes, button up top on. And we're like, oh, hey, G, what are you doing? Well, I thought we were going to do a cover session. Old mate goes, no, I'm going Saturdays.
you got me mixed up with someone else, bro.
Was you, G. Because I remember it was like 4 in the morning. I'm getting texts, G, can you open up the house, please, G? Can you open up the house?
we had to. It was a good little weekend.
Bro, that was bloody funny.
Bro, that was tough. There was 6 games in one day.
Did you guys play 6 games in one day?
Yeah, 6 games in one day. It was only a one-day tourney back then.
And was that Tonga twice that day as well?
Yeah. Wow, that Tonga too, mate. Stacked.
Yeah. So after that, where'd you go after the NZ Condors?
Then that's when I signed with Auckland. And I had that academy. I was in the academy for that. So that's 2021. Auckland Academy. But then I would sort of, like I said before, go to the Mount and sort of have a couple of weeks with the Sevens and then sort of come back. But then, did a full year of club, 2021. Lost in the final, pretty tough. And then
was that to Eden?
Yeah, that was to Eden. And then at the end of that season or that end of that year, because that was that big-ass COVID year.
Yeah.
And was at home for a while, and then I was lucky enough at the end of that 2021 I got a call from Clarkie asking if I'd be keen to sort of fully sign. Then made my way down to Sevens in 2022, had a full year there, which is mean.
And you were the top try scorer in that 2022?
I can't remember. I don't know. We'll have to check, but
How did it feel, bro? Like, I mean, 2022, we were just turned 20, around 20?
2022. I just turned 19.
So you just turned 19, you're young, you're trying to balance professional footy as the same as like growing, growing and maturing post school. And what was it like trying to balance everything out as a professional, I mean, with a black jersey on?
Bro, it was surreal, because I would always watch like the All Black Sevens growing up. Like, I was a huge Sevens fan. My dad actually played in the circuit for Tonga. So me and him would always just watch the circuit. Like, we'd watch it like the boys like Timmy and Joe Weber play. So it was surreal, like being in the same sheds with them. But I loved it. I reckon it turned me into the player I am now. Just like being a whole. I sort of had to learn how to be a professional pretty early. And I reckon, they helped me a lot. And I love my time there.
And, you know, being quite a family man, what was it like to, you know, take yourself to the, like, out of home for the obvious, I think, the first time?
It was pretty tough, eh? But it was only a 3-hour drive. Like, before when I first signed, I was like, man, I'm never going to see my family again. I was like, bro, looking back at it, it was just, because when I was there, like, most, I would drive back most weekends anyway, which was, like, lucky, but. Yeah, no, it was all good. It wasn't too bad.
It was like you drive back 70% to see your family and 30% to go to Viaduct Day. So post sevens, you obviously you killed that circuit. What were some of the big events you went to for the sevens?
I went to Commonwealth Games, which was pretty cool. And then also it was also the World Cup that year. So they were two pretty big events, which is pretty cool to be a part of, yeah.
Oh, right. That's pretty sick. Yeah. Do you keep all your jerseys?
Yeah, most of them. I got like half at my house and half at my dad's house.
Mean, bro. That's good. Yeah. Eh? That's always going to be cool. Good to look back. I bet your siblings suck those on all the time.
Yeah. Nah, that's my dad. Bro. He's always the one up there.
All right. What are some of the... Other than the fact you moved out for the first time, you might be a little bit uncomfortable at times. With the seventh circuit, what people always forget is the travel is nuts.
Yeah, it is pretty tough. You'll probably have like a double week tourney, I'd say every month back then. It's a little bit different now, but when I was there, you'd go for the week, play on that weekend. Quickly recover, and then it's another game week. You got a tourney that following week, and like all the big travel because we're so far from all those other countries. Yeah, it is pretty tough on the body, but like, yeah, you sort of get used to it, but you don't like, yeah.
What countries did you tick off the list, bro? Sad they don't put stamps in your passport anymore, bro. Yeah. I wish they did.
No, I was lucky. I got to go to quite a few. Or the before seventh, the other country I'd been to was Australia and Tonga. Nice. So I was just in awe, really. Just all
now
the countries.
Now you're Mr. Worldwide, eh?
Nah, that's not me.
You went to Dubai?
Yeah, Dubai.
Bro,
that one's crazy. Have you been to Dubai?
Nah, bro, I want to go to Dubai, though.
Bro, it's like, it's almost like fake. Like, it's just all these huge buildings in like a desert. Like, it's unreal, way. Yeah, I was lucky to go there, England, most of the UK, Scotland.
What stadiums, bro, did you get to in England? That's a pretty mean
played in, we played in that, so I don't know, the stadium in Birmingham. We played there, and then we played in Twickenham.
Twickenham, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
We're going to see you playing Twickenham in the near future, bro, I reckon.
Hopefully, bro. That was one of my favourite stadiums.
Really? I'm sure, but we'll cover that coming up soon. So post getting in that 7th circuit, you end up wanting to come back to 15s. What kind of made you make that decision?
I just knew that my goal was always to be an All Black. And also, you got to sort of be in the Super Rugby environment to achieve those goals. So, and I always knew growing up, like, I always wanted to play for the Blues. So once that opportunity sort of came, I was like, I have to go and, try it out and just be in that environment, which was,
Were you approached first or did you approach the 15s environment?
We sort of had something in my contract when I first signed with Sevens, just with the academy and sort of Blues sort of combined contract thing you start with. They were pretty keen to have me. After that 1 year, sevens, yeah.
So after sevens, bro, you go into NPC?
Nah, because it was that weird Commonwealth game, so we missed that whole NPC sort of to play NPC that year. So I went straight into that super season.
Oh, true.
Dang,
skip, you just straight jump.
It was just this huge, like, holy heck sort of thing.
Oh, but to be fair, you're well prepared at that point. I mean, you're 19. You've clocked all these seven circuits. You understood the professional environment. Your skills could speak for themselves. What was it like going straight into the super environment?
Bro, I was struggling, eh? Like, I forgot how, like, different the games are, like, with 7s and 15s. And especially going into, like, a team like that, like, yeah, I was honestly struggling for, I would even say, the whole year, just trying to get my head around it all. But it was.
Who were the coaches, bro, at the time you came into the Blues system?
That year was Leon McDonald
and Schmidt?
Nah, he wasn't there.
Oh.
It was Leon and, like, who else was there? Oh, I can't remember. Leon and someone else. But yeah, he was the head coach.
Oh,
at
man.
That time, yeah.
And then, so you obviously do Blues. You go through, you get some NPC game time for Auckland over the next year or so, eh?
Yeah.
And then how many caps did you get for Auckland, bro?
I think I'm on 13 or 14 right now.
Man.
With the last 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, bro, your body's been through a lot, eh? Considering you're only, 22, 23. Bro, that's crazy. After that you go, so you obviously have your Blues Super, you debut for the Blues, you obviously, how many caps do you end up in the end, bro?
Three?
Not too many. You still put the blue jersey on, so it doesn't matter nonetheless. Yeah. What kind of bred the decision for you to want to jump ship down to Dunners?
Just like opportunity to play. Like, what I want to do is be on the field, especially at this level. And it's always going to be hard when you got two unreal All Blacks in front of you. So I thought if I wanted to achieve my goals, I got to be on the field, and that's what the Highlanders sort of offered me. So, yeah, that's how it came down.
Yeah, and so you obviously go down for the first time down in Dunners this year. What's it like, bro?
Bro, it's actually, I thought it would be sort of worse than it is, but I'm actually, like, really enjoying my time down here, right? Like, everything's close. 5 minutes of training. Oh, it's like, I'm loving it, eh?
So you guys train at Forsyth? Is that where your gym is?
It's like we got like an HQ right outside.
Oh.
So pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. We get our every Thursday training. We train inside the stadium, which is pretty mean.
Man. I saw you guys did a club draft this year. What club did you get?
I'm still new to all the clubs down there. I think I got drafted to like a club called Southern or something. Southern.
Oh, yo.
Yeah, I have no clue where the clubs are down here yet.
My little bro's down there. He played for the Sharkies.
Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah. I've seen him a couple of times down here, right?
Yo. little bad man. bro, let's go to some of the other things a part of being a pro rugby player. We'll go back to the Landers and your fine form you're in now. But, you know, some of the challenges you've learned going throughout, we've already covered. Now, let's talk about sacrifice because, you know, being young, we've obviously, like, in a place like Dunners especially, it'll be easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
But coming through after school, what was it like? What did you feel you had to sacrifice, or what are some of the sacrifices you made to be the young player you are now?
Well, obviously, when you're young, there's heaps of temptation to go out with all the boys and have a good time. But, yeah, I feel like I sort of balanced. Like, every now and then I'd go out with the boys and stuff like that. But then just knew when I sort of had to, like, sort of lock in and train and that sort of thing. That's probably the main thing, to be honest. I would say that.
Main. Yeah. And so what are some of the standout moments you've had, bro, in your career so far? We've obviously gone straight through, and it doesn't matter where, junior years, school, posts, what's some of the standout moments you've had in your career so far?
Probably, oh, like I said before, all the teams I've debuted for, like, it's all, like, crazy. I've always been, like, a rugby head, always watched rugby growing up. It's still surreal to me that I'm in these teams.
It's crazy, bro. And I was actually shocked, bro. I was shocked that year 13 was the first year you kind of really popped off and got that boost.
Yeah. I didn't want to say I didn't take it serious, rugby, but up until year 13, I didn't really, like, I would sort of just go Tuesday, Thursday trainings and then just chill. But year 13 was, like, my first year. I was, like, gymming and all that sort of outside stuff. Yeah.
It's worked out in your favor, bro. You just let your natural talent take over, and it's obviously taken you to where you are now. Family support, bro. How big has your family been? We've touched on it a little bit, but obviously you've got your little siblings, you've got your extended family. How has it been in regards to growing up and especially post-school as a pro athlete?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. They're like a few of the players, like the family of them, probably the biggest reason why I play. Just to provide for them and just like sort of representing my last name sort of thing. They made heaps of sacrifices for me to be where I am. So I'm sort of just giving back to them and just doing all I can really to, yeah.
The Hurt Locker is made possible thanks to our communication sponsor, Freedom Internet. Locally owned and operated, Freedom Internet delivers secure residential short stay and commercial internet fiber services. When was the last time you updated the security on your in-home router? Don't worry, Freedom Internet will do it for you, keeping you and your family's online experiences safe and fast. Freedom Internet, connecting people and building community. Sign up today at freedominternet.co.nz. Outside of your family, bro, have you had any mentors or kind of been under the wing of some players maybe post-school?
I'm trying to think of some players because obviously, yeah, my family. Really? Other than like senior players on my teams, like, I'm trying to think of the Blues boys. Oh, it's hard to pick out names, but mostly all the senior boys, like, I would ask just for advice and stuff like that. The Sevens boys were like a big help for me. Joe Webbers and those sort of players. But yeah, not that I can think of really, other than them, yeah.
Well, you've covered some of the players. I mean, Joe Webber, the Blues senior boys, you would have been around guys like Akito, who's obviously going to Japan now. Do you have any moments, bro, like maybe you've turned up to a training or something or sat in a team room? What are some players that you've just sat there and been like, holy country, I'm sitting next to this guy or that guy?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely plenty of those moments. When I went down to Ignite, oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Bro, that was like, we were still in school and that Ignite list came out and I see all these like names, like Tim Mickelson, Joe Rupert, and I was like, well, how am I meant to play against these guys? I thought when I first got called for Ignite, it would just be like an age grade thing. But that was a pretty serious moment, like sitting in that little draft thing and there's all those players there. But
oh my God, bro. That's right. It was a draft.
It was a little draft
oh,
thing.
Oh, bro. That's from the Ignite tournament.
Yeah.
Bro, I had a crack up team.
How did you guys do? Because I was lucky I was in that stacked bolt team, eh?
How did we even do, bro? To be honest, like, when I think about Ignite, G, all I remember is becoming a TikTok. Bro, we played, I think it was like for a third or fourth place, bro, and I forgot his name, but one of the bros just took me straight up, ran on the outside, and then all of a sudden, straight after the game, bro, I'm getting sent all these TikToks of me getting boosted. What are some of the names? I don't even remember, bro. Yeah, I think we must have come like third or fourth or something. I just remember Moses Leo just carving everyone up.
That's how we got picked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was unreal that 20.
Bro, how old was he that 20?
I think he's like 24 maybe, 25 then.
Oh, yo.
Yeah.
And then obviously he's over at the Storm now. So we'll go into some life as a pro now, bro. So you're in the Landers now. What's your kind of day-to-day life looking like since you've been down there? Or, well, now that you're in season?
Bro, pretty chill. Like, there's not too much to do down here. I just get around the boys. I'm still trying to build that, you know, connection. I don't really know. I didn't really know much of them before I moved down. Pretty chill. Staying with Tanilu Tule.
Oh, I mean.
So just me and him, we were pretty chill, just play PlayStation, training and home pretty much and play the game.
Yo, what boys jam the game, bro, in the Landers? Because I've put together a team for the Blues boys and I'm doing like 5v5 scrimmage streams, but so I've got the Blues here, and then I've got some of the Waz boys as well set up. Who else games in the Landers, bro? We need to get you guys together a Fortnite team.
Fortnite? I think there's me, Josh Bartlett, Michael Manson.
The Milkman.
Who else do we play with? JT Ewe.
Yo. He's a gun.
Who else plays Fortnite? Most of the boys play like COD and that sort of thing, yeah.
Yo. What are you jamming at the moment on the game?
Bro, I just bought WWE. Had to, bro.
What's the whole news of the WWE thing? I saw, what was it, John Cena switched or something?
John Cena turned heel, yeah. he's going all bad now.
You're not stoked with the whole thing, bro. What even is it, bro? What's heel? I don't actually keep up with that
heel
anymore.
It's just like a... He just turned like a bad dude. Like, because John Cena's always like, everyone loves him, that sort of thing.
Who's your favorite wrestler, bro?
And right now, or all time?
All time.
Bro, it was John Cena.
Yo. Oh, is it not
John? He's breaking my heart. He's breaking my heart. I stay strong. John Cena, have to.
I just had a little bit of a search. What about when we were a bit younger? Did you remember like Trish Stratus and all those?
Bad man, bro.
I remember you know those dispensary card machines, bro, like the trading card machines?
Yeah.
I remember I was like 11, bro, and I go to that and I ask my mom to grab me one, like a WWE card, hoping I get like Batista and all these dudes, bro. Open up first card, I got like this gold Trish Stratus card, bro. It was gone. What's like your biggest training day look like, bro? Like double session? Is it recovery in that day as well? What's it look like?
During season?
Let's talk. We'll start with the season. What's your biggest day like at the moment?
Lucky during season, it's not too hectic. Like, it's normally just the hardest day would be just the gym and the field session. But back in preseason, bro, we were doing like, I want to say 3 or 4 sessions a day.
Really?
It was easily the hardest preseason I've ever done.
What was the toughest? Like, what was the day and like the specific drill that just killed you, bro?
It was just the day was so long. It would start at 7:30 in the morning, out at like a wrestling, like comp. We did like wrestling and like pretty much run it straight. Did you see the Waratahs do on like the mats?
On the wrestling mats.
Yeah, so our day will start with that, with like conditioning and stuff during it. Then we'll quickly come over to HQ, do a gym, we'll have a little quick break, do a little 45-minute field test, come back, have lunch, and then have our tough field session at like 3 o'clock and then get home at like 5.
Straight to sleep.
It was, pretty much, bro.
No WWE then.
No WWE, bro.
You've had to eat more, bro, like considering those days were tighter. Like, what's your kind of diet now, especially because you're down in Dunners living with Tanilu. I mean, that guy's massive.
He's probably the reason why I've lost a few kicks. Because that guy is just, ripped as it. But my diet, I like having my cheat meal every now and then. but it's definitely chilled a bit. We sort of had to with the training we were doing here. Like, it was real important, a fuel in there, because those trainings were just next level away. But it's definitely gotten better from a couple of years ago.
What's your mental health like, bro? It's obviously a topic some people... Yeah. Then I talk about, but you know, you've gone through the ringer now in the past couple of years in regards to not only physically, but I mean, mentally, there had to be a couple of occasions where you didn't feel your best. Do you have like a mental health kind of routine, or do you do anything to just keep the top two all set?
I don't really have a routine there. I'm sort of lucky that I'm like a sort of like a chill guy. Like, I don't really let things sort of get to my head. I like sort of just pushing everything aside. So I'm sort of grateful that I can sort of do that, yeah.
Just a chill guy, yeah, bro.
Just a chill guy.
What are some standout moments for your career then, bro? Like, we've touched on it a little bit, but what are like three key standout moments that really stick out to you at the moment?
In my career so far?
Yeah, just anything.
Well, I'll pick one from this year, like playing. I'll probably have to say that Blues game, man.
You just clipped yourself, just, boy.
Nah, I was just not really like the win. It was just like the first time playing in Foresight Bar. That was my first time ever, and that crowd was just one of the loudest crowds I've ever played in front of. And just the whole, like, just playing the boys, like some of my close boys in the team, just the whole experience, like, it was just like, yeah, cool moment, eh?
What's it like playing in front of the Zoo, bro?
Oh, it's mean, eh?
Real?
I definitely get used to it. It's mean.
But loud as gun?
Yeah, it's loud. It's mean. It's like the best super, like, games I've been to. Like, it's just loud. It's
yeah.
Mean. Gets the boys up.
Yeah. What other one?
That Commonwealth Games experience was pretty mean. Like, it was sort of like a little Olympics. Like, you're in a village before, like, the other athletes. You're there for, like, a week.
Was that the bronze one, bro?
What's that?
Was that the where you guys got the bronze?
Yeah.
Mean.
Yeah. No, it was just a mean experience, eh? Just, like, a full NZ team, like, sort of thing. Not, it wasn't just, like, the All Black Sevens. It was, like, a full sort of NZ team, which was mean, eh?
What are those crowds like, bro, when you play overseas? Are they pretty big? Do they get pretty big?
Yeah, it's in some countries they get big as. That Twickenham one was huge.
Yeah.
What else is huge? That Commonwealth Games one got pretty big towards the final days.
Gone. Yeah, that would have been pretty fun, bro. It's just crazy to say you've even played there. Most people can't even get there, bro.
Yeah, it's,
That's mean.
Crazy to me, to be honest.
All right, we'll go to one of our big segments that we loved from the last episode. We're going to pick a team of 15. This week's one, we're going to do an NBA 15, considering Lefs loves the NBA. We'll start off with the front row. You start off, bro. You go through your front row of your NBA 15.
Bro, this was actually hard, eh? Because, like, they're, like, all the same size, just taller. So I was, like, trying to... My front row. Well, we're going all three or just number one?
We'll go all three.
So I got number one, Shaq. Number two, Zion. And number three, Nikola Jokic.
Ooh.
I was just trying to think of like heavy players.
Yo, that's gone. Nah, I like that lineup. Yo, I've gone pretty similar. Right? For my loose head, I went Zion.
Yeah.
At hooker, I went Draymond Green. Just because he's a dog. And then I got Nikola at tight head as well. But I don't know. I kind of regret putting Nikola there. But I kind of just put him there because he's just Serbian, bro. This Serbian's crazy. Who you got for your locks?
Got Taco 4.
Oh, bro. I should have thought. Bro, he lives in the show now.
Yeah, he plays in the Breakers, eh?
Yeah, he's in the Breakers. That's a good one.
And Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, you chop me with the locks, eh? You chop me. I got Giannis at 4, just for his athleticism, and because he's like 12 foot tall. And then for the other lock, I got Rudy Gobert.
But
I think you got me, bro. Ain't bad. All right, let's go through our back row. 6, 7, 8.
I got 6. I got Draymond.
Ooh.
Yeah. 7, I got Dennis Rodman.
That's a little bit crazy.
And number 8, Steven Adams.
Oh, you want the Tongan at the back, eh?
You have to.
Oh, pause. All right. 6, 7, 8. 6, I got LeBron.
True.
IQ through the roof, calling plays. Yo, now that man's him. I got him at 6. Yeah, that's a crazy place. 7, Russell Westbrook. Oh, I wanted to put him at half, but I just wanted like a fast, just a real like athletic 7. And then at 8, I got Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
Yo, that's that's me. Yo, back check in that guy. Oh, I think you've chopped me. Yeah, I think you got me for your forwards. Who you got 9 and 10?
Number 9, I got Chris Paul.
Oh, that's a good pick.
And number 10, LaMelo.
Oh, LaMelo. Mr. Off fans. The Cuff.
He'll give me fans at the games.
Bro, he's so gone though, LaMelo.
Yo.
He's mean. Let's go. So at for number 9, I've got Patrick Beverley. Just because he keeps tall, he always talks. Just a that's mad all, talker. Yeah,
that's smart.
And then first 5, I've got Steph Curry. Just a sharpshooter. Sharpshooter. Yeah, 12-13, bro. Midfield. 12-13? Yo.
My 12, I got Kawhi.
Ooh.
Lockdown. 13, LeBron.
Oy, LeBron.
I don't know where to put LeBron, eh?
Yo. Well, because he's... It's just when I watch the way he runs, eh? I'm just like, I don't know if the bro's going to be at the back.
Yeah. I look at young LeBron.
Yo, oh, Heat LeBron. You want Heat LeBron in center. LeBron. All right, at 12, I got Luka Doncic because he's just chunky as, but he's still crafty. At center, I got Jimmy B's, Jimmy Buckets.
Ooh.
Oh.
I forgot about Jimmy Butler.
Yes, sir. Man, when it gets tough, you need that man. You need that man. Back 3, bro. Let's finish it off. This is where you should be special here.
My 2 wingers, left wing, Darren Fox.
Ooh, yeah, bro. Fast.
Darren Fox, fast. And the other wing got Derrick Rose.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
And 15, Bronny James Jr. Head to, bro.
Bro, come on, bro. Are you serious? Do you really think he should be in the NBA? Come on, man.
Yeah, of course, bro. He's the king's son.
Oh, are you a Bronny? Are you a Bron Glazer as well?
Nah. Yeah.
Left wing, I got Ja Morant. Mr. Glock. Right wing, your posse, I've got Anthony Edwards.
See, I was going to pick it, man.
Yo, right wing. Yeah, strong fire. Fullback, I got, bro, I don't know, this is a bit of a tough one here. I got KD at the back.
Ooh.
Just long. Oh,
true.
Just glides around the field.
Yeah, true.
Just that man, yo.
Nah, that was hard to pick that, eh?
Yo, bro, it actually is pretty tough to pick those, eh? It gets pretty out of it, especially when, it's because you think NBA, and then, like, it's just too big, like, there's just too many players to pick from.
Yeah.
It's like when play like 2K, bro. It's like blacktop. You can just scroll through bloody every single selection in the game. All right, I'll chuck those teams up on Insta, and we'll chuck a little voting poll, see who's got the better side, and then you guys can send in your teams as well, because last time we had a couple of the boys send in their 15, so we'll see who stacks up and has the best one. We'll chuck out a prize for the best 15, NBA 15. All right, bro, we'll go do some quick fire questions as we start to slowly wrap up the potty. I'll start you out with the first one. What's the favorite stadium you've played at?
Probably, I'd say Twickenham, eh?
Twickenham?
Twickenham. Man.
All right, who's the funniest teammate you've ever had?
That's hard to pick one, eh? Because all the rugby boys, there's heaps of like
pretty
crack up dudes. But to pick a couple, probably be Tifa's.
I mean,
he's just always crack up and talking shit.
Okay.
Tony Nashu.
Oh, yo. You can tell he's a crack up dude from his TikTok, so.
That laughs more funny than
All right, bro, we'll go. Your go-to playlist, bro. What genre are you jamming for your go-tos?
I don't really have one, eh? I have, one playlist, and it has like heaps of different genres in it.
Oh, yo, the shuffle, you go from country to rap to R&B.
Yeah, I'm just like a all around.
All right, bro, vibe, before your game, bro, you've got 3 songs you can pick to listen to before a game. What 3 songs are you picking?
One of them, I might have to quickly.
Yeah, you all have a browse. Let us know and I'll chuck
these up. I know one of them I always put on is, it's called Saucy.
Saucy? Fredo Bang?
Yo.
Fredo Bang Saucy? Yeah.
That's what that gets me like hype.
Yo, that's a track.
And then, It Ain't Safe gets me up there.
Skip that?
Yeah.
Yo, Skip that. Bro, have you seen that new track he did with Playboy Max?
No, I haven't seen it really.
The streamer? Bro, you should have a look. It's crazy. They sampled Dochi's song. Bro, and that sounds gay. Well, Skip the sounds gangster on anything, eh?
Yeah.
Right, and your third song. So we've got Saucy by Fredo Bang. Skip the It Ain't Safe. What's your third track you'll pick before a game?
Well, it'll just probably be anything Maoli after that, eh?
Oh, yo, anything chill. Maoli. Did you go to Maoli when he came, bro?
Yeah.
Did you? Was it mean?
Yeah. That was mean, bro.
Bro, I was so jealous, bro. It looks
I've seen him a couple of times now, eh?
Really? Yeah. All in NZ or have you seen him outside?
Yeah, all in NZ.
Oh, well, go on. All right, bro, we'll go to the next one. Who's the toughest player you've marked?
Ooh. In 15s, probably Etienne Nana.
Ooh, yeah.
He's why is that, like, bro? Quick feet, strong. Then in 7s, it would have been probably one of the Fijians.
That's what Shay said, bro.
Yeah. What's his name? I think it was the same guy Shay said.
Oh, yep.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forgot what he said. All right, bro, we'll go. So you've got a dinner, your dream dinner table, bro. You can sit 4 people at the table. What 4 people are you picking from anywhere, dead or alive?
LeBron. John Cena. And who's that?
2 more.
2 more?
Yeah, 2 more.
We'll go with 50 Cent.
Ooh, so you got 50, John Cena, LeBron. All right, bro, I've got we've got some fan questions for you, bro, and actually quite a few, bro. You'll be surprised at how many I got. The first one, bro, I'm actually gonna just put something up for you. I got asked to show you a picture. If you could just explain what this means, bro. You might have a guess who told me to show you this.
Oh hell, dude, Josh Berry. Josh Berry, bro. I don't know why he still flexes that.
What is it, bro? You want to talk it through? Talk it through to us.
I wasn't even playing that game, so.
So you're saying if you did play, you would have won?
Nah. We played him like 2 weeks after that, and we put like 30 on them. What's up, Bizza?
All right, bro. I'll go on to the.
He sent me that photo every 2 weeks.
Who? Berry?
Josh.
All right, bro. I'll check it on. Let's go. Another question from Ollie Anderson. You did athletics, bro. What's your fastest 100-meter time?
Bro, I can't give you an exact time, mate, but I'm pretty sure like 11. 2 or something. Damn. I can't actually. The last time I recorded was in school,
eh? Yeah. So, bro, it's still quick. Right, yeah. We got another one by our boy Izzy. He said, "Why are you so himothy?"
That's not me, bro. That's not me.
Humble ones. All right. We go to the next one. All right. Izzy also asked, "Staying in Dunners so far, do you see it as a long term thing, bro?"
Well, I've still got another year next year with them. But I'm definitely loving my time here. So we'll see when my contract's up.
Yeah.
We'll see what they go is there. But
So 25, 26 and then replan?
Yeah. Re-evaluate. We'll see what happens from there. But I'm really enjoying my time down here at the moment.
Yes, sir. All right. Tom Oggie, who's one of my boys, what was the hardest? To 15s.
Probably like just the whole rugby side of it. Like it's a whole different game, and going from my last, what, 15s game was that club final. And then going straight into a super team, like, yeah. I didn't realise how much I needed to learn going into that team. So probably just the whole rugby part of it, eh?
Man. All right. As he said, can you ask the host for a 101? All right, we got Cedric, the Let's Talk Sports guy from TikTok. You might have seen him before.
Yeah, he
said, are you the fastest player in the Super Rugby competition? Don't be humble now. Just be honest.
Nah, I'm not even the fastest player on my team.
Yeah, well, bro, who is?
You're
going to say Michael Manson.
He is. I would say he's the fastest in the comp.
You reckon?
He's crazy quick, yeah.
Yeah. Quick. All right, Toby Tasker's got the next question. Did you expect your fantasy value to be $4 million? Because at the moment, you're way undervalued.
I knew it would be low. But I only played like 3 super games in the last 2 years, so I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah, but you're everyone's gold rush right now, bro. You've been stacking the points for us over the past couple of weeks, so... I think that's why. Yeah, 4 mil is way unders right now. I wish it was like Supercoach, bro. I wish, because in NRL Supercoach, when you like a player plays good, his price gets higher, and you can like trade or sell them, or just keep them and then kind of keep the cash. But yo, that's a good question. I didn't even think of going over to fantasy. You guys aren't allowed to play fantasy.
Nah, I was keen to get into it.
That sucks, bro. Like I wish you guys. It doesn't make sense. You're not betting.
Yeah.
But I guess it could, yeah. I do see why they wouldn't let you guys play. All right, we go. I'm going to make you guess this one, bro, the who asked you this question. Is it true Caleb Tongatau eats carrots pre-game?
I have no clue who's asked it.
It was Barty, bro. The milkman, Josh Barley. He said, is it true he eats carrots pre-game? All right. We got the bro, Rory Van Riel, Rorsky, he said, Lakers in 5.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, I'll make you guess this one as well, bro. He goes, when you back at Revs next, straight away.
What's that?
When you back at Revelry.
When am I back?
Yo.
Nah, it's, not for a while.
It's Steezy.
That guy needs a break from there.
Oh, Steezy. Oh, hey, Steezy, I didn't say that. Hey, Lip said that. I didn't say it.
Why are you laughing there, dude?
Nah, don't do like that. Not those ones. Right, we got Flynn Robbins, bro. How is the Dunedin fan base in comparison to Auckland's?
It's way different, eh? There's heaps of uni students down there, and there's that zoo, obviously, so... The games are way more louder, but I feel like, the crowds are, like, pretty much almost packed each game. And you can sort of tell the fans are real, like, into it and sort of love this region and the team, man. That was pretty cool to be a part of.
Mean. All right, bro. Brady Rush. Our boy Brady Rush. Ooh. He's asked, what's your favourite rugby memory?
Favourite rugby? What's that?
Your favourite rugby memory.
Well, that's hard, bro. I can't really pick one out there. Oh. Probably the ones I've just said, just all the teams I've been.
Maybe one of your Blues, that Blues ones might be up there, right? That's what you're talking about before. All right, and here goes for the last question. Who's his favorite teammate ever, and why is it me?
Who would have said that?
Brady.
it's Brady, bro. We'll give it to him.
Oh, good man. All right, that's kind of ending us. Let's go, Brady, wrap up an outro. Yo, so let's see. We've got our quick last questions, bro. Let's grab this. Who is your GOAT men's rugby player?
Dan Carter.
Ooh, Dan Carter, eh? Why is that?
Well, isn't he like the leading points scorer?
Oh, bro, honestly, I wouldn't have a clue, eh? It would make sense if it was him.
Just the way he played, eh? Like, he was just unreal.
And we'll go over to your GOAT women's player.
Probably Portia, I'd say.
100.
Just because she's done both, eh? Like, 15s and 7s and just done unreal.
Bro, she's carving up the OPIC at the moment, bro.
Yeah.
Going on. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Hurt Locker. That's our episode with Mr. Caleb Tongatol. If you have him in fantasy, keep him on your wing. He'll be stacking up those points in the next wee while. Lips, thanks for coming in today, bro.
Thanks, bro. It was unreal. Appreciate
it, bro. Thanks for coming on. We'll get Lips and his Landers boys on. Actually, we'll match them up. We'll go Landers vs. Blues for our Fortnite series coming up in a second. I'll get those games set up in the next wee while. Other than that, thanks for tuning into the Hurt Locker. That's our session 2 done with Lips. You're now tuned out with the Hurt Locker.